Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. The Devil's Dirt. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
While most of us with pulses and mouths can appreciate the deliciousness of a potato, it wasn't always like that. I know, I'm as shocked as you are. Like anything else with good or bad PR, a food can change, become wonderfully appetizing or repulsive and reviled. Taking that thought even further, a food, when advocated for, can change the course of history, becoming the savior of the masses. Or the mark of the devil. Today on Ghost Town, from glam dinner parties to propaganda to mass thievery to satanic panic, the surprisingly tumultuous rise and fall and rise again of the potato. Before it became, oh, I don't know, my favorite food ever, I want to take us back 8,000 years to the Andes, where Incas and their ancestors cultivated the nutrient-dense, cold-resistant crop in the rocky soil, where little else could be sustained. This was the first time humans had grown and lived off of the potato. They chopped it, cooked it, mashed it, or even froze it, pretty much like how we prepare it now, except maybe for freezing it. Anyhow, the potato did its job. It was a modest, dirt-covered root vegetable, feeding people so they could survive. But when a bunch of Spanish conquistadors encountered a potato in 1537, they were not impressed. That year, Don Juan Castellanos mentions the potato, saying that it was part of a, quote, military report on raiding an Inca village in Peru during a search for gold and silver to steal. The potato, I don't have to say this to you, was not gold. It was not silver. It was certainly not chocolate. And it was definitely not tobacco. Hell, it wasn't even corn. All tough products to follow and brought back to Europe among the spoils of colonization. The potato was dirty, ugly, and tough to eat unless you cooked it forever. But it was fast-growing, and in a place prone to famine, Europe, I'm looking at you, Spaniards decided that the potato could stay, but under a certain condition. That it was and would be always thought of as gross, for only poor people and animals. So that was the deal. And by the 18th century, the potato was considered a taboo product. If you were a respectable European, you refused to eat them. For the Spaniards, the potato was regarded as something from the natives, foreign, a simple food for someone and by someone that they didn't understand. Similarly, in England, the potato was also ill-regarded, something only fed to and by the working class, or working animals. Ironically and disappointingly, in the 1700s, who hated the potato most of all? It was the French, far and beyond other European countries. Most French recipes were rooted in religion, so while orchard fruits and game birds were yum yum gobble me up, anything from the ground, think onions, carrots, and delicious, delicious potatoes, were from, quote, the devil's dirt. Equating it to the food of dogs, bugs, worms, and, you know, earthbound creatures. Some even linked it to deadly nightshade, meaning that it was specifically created by witches or devils to kill or maim. Others thought it would give people leprosy due to its spotted skin. In any case, these devil's apples, another adorable name, were deemed unchristian, dangerous, and even satanic. Yes, a delicious potato. Can you even? On the rare occasion, the potato was grown for animal feed or for flowers, but that was pretty much it. In fact, in 1748, France had actually forbidden the large-scale cultivation of the potato. And small-scale cultivation? Well, the government was watching you. Potatoes were not something people wanted to be associated with, and certainly not something they'd willingly ingest. But things don't stay weird and satanic for long when you're extremely hungry. By the late 1700s, France was facing a famine from bad weather and even worse farming techniques. The French were starving, literally and figuratively, for a solution. It was at this point that it was one man's time to shine. His name was Antoine Augustin Parmentier, and like me, he loved a carb. Parmentier was a local pharmacist who actually enjoyed a potato, and he didn't care who knew it. He had been introduced to potatoes when he was captured by the Prussians in the Seven Years' War. While in prison, he was forced to eat potatoes, which he thought was going to be awful, something akin to dog food or chum. But actually, he kinda liked it. Not only that, he stayed fairly healthy, eating just one food while behind enemy lines, so he knew there was something to them, nutritionally speaking. After the war, Parmentier returned to Paris in 1763, where he pursued nutritional chemistry. In 1770, he wrote a prize-winning essay titled Inquiry into Nourishing Vegetables That in Times of Necessity Could Be Substituted for Ordinary Food, which is a very literal title. Anyway, the essay argued in favor of using potatoes, said nourishing vegetable, as an alternative to bread. His prison experience also came to mind in 1772 when he proposed the use of the potato as a source of nourishment for patients with dysentery, as the potato is low fiber, bland, and easy to digest for suffering patients. His mission was to sway the scientific community and public on this point, that potatoes were good, they were nutritious, and they were a benefit to society. He wrote pro-potato pamphlets, won scientific accolades, and he even hosted glamorous soirees for Parisian high society members and international elites, like chemist and revolutionary Antoine Lavoisier and Benjamin Franklin. Delicacies like potato soup, potato dessert, and even, and this is going to blow your mind, potato vodka were enjoyed at these decadent events. Parmentier's parties, literature, and stunts, let's call them what they were, gained notoriety in Parisian social circles, especially the time that Parmentier gifted potato blossoms to Queen Marie Antoinette and King Louis XVI themselves. Quote, when they got there, he presented them with a bouquet of potato flowers, food historian and associate lecturer Lauren Samuelson told ABC Radio. Apparently, they were so enchanted, they loved it so much, that King Louis put potato flowers in his lapel, and Marie Antoinette decorated her hair with potato flowers. But the biggest stunt would be to come, one that showed a shift in the potato mindset of the time. And honestly, it was genius. More after this break. In the 1700s, when France was struggling to feed itself, Antoine Augustin Parmentier was like, hello, the potato, it's what's for dinner. He'd spread the word to the scientific community, the royal court, Marie Antoinette, but he needed something bigger, something bolder, something dangerous, and something with 1,000 times more potato. Due largely to Parmentier's efforts, in 1772, the Paris Faculty of Medicine declared potatoes not illegal, as they once were, but edible and permissible to grow. After the fun potato parties and the cool flowers, Louis XVI granted Parmentier 54 acres of land near Paris to grow his own potatoes. Wonderful, right? This potato patch was the stage for his next big idea. Day in and day out, Parmentier surrounded his own large personal potato patch with intense armed guards. During the day, people wondered why the patch was being guarded at all, thinking that whatever was inside was, of course, very valuable. When the guards left at night, the patch was alone and vulnerable, and the same people who wondered what was going on during the day came out at night to steal some potatoes. These potatoes, which were at one point being guarded earlier in that day, were now perceived of as, of course, valuable. It's psychology, people! Single-handedly, Antoine Augustin Parmentier created an economy for potatoes in a country that truly at first wanted nothing to do with them. In 1779, Parmentier was appointed to teach at the Free School of Bakery to help make bread cheaper and help stabilize the food supply. He saw this, of course, as another opportunity. So he published Meunier de Frère de Pain de la Pomme de Terre sans mélange de farine. I definitely didn't say that correctly. I'm so sorry. English translation is How to Make Potato Bread Without Mixing Flour. In this paper, he described how one can make very cheap, very delicious potato bread that still has all the characteristics of wheat bread. Trying to make a potato roll into a wheat roll? I'm not fully on board. But it was another thing that had people, this time more middle and working class, coming around to the idea of the potato. In 1800, Napoleon Bonaparte himself appointed Parmentier the first army pharmacist. Parmentier took a break from potato campaigning to do some pretty impressive other things, including instilling the first mandatory smallpox shots in France. He also figured out how to extract sugar from beets and was one of the first scientists to study refrigeration methods for preserving meat. The man was clearly a genius, and by the century's end, potatoes had gone mainstream, with renowned French chef Madame Marigot publishing a potato cookbook. That's only potatoes with this cookbook. Starting in the 1870s, many French dishes that included potato were named in honor of Antoine Augustin Parmentier, the man who made the potato, including potage, velouté or crème parmentier, a potato and leek soup, hachis parmentier, a cottage or shepherd's pie, brandade de morue parmentier, salt cod mashed with olive oil and potatoes, pomme or garniture parmentier, that's cubed potatoes fried in butter, that sounds good to me, purée parmentier, that's mashed potatoes, a classic, and salade parmentier, aka the potato salad. Of course, during all of the years that Parmentier was singing potato praises in France, potato propaganda was growing across the globe. In Prussia, Frederick the Great ordered peasants to grow potatoes, seeing its value. When they resisted, he threatened to cut off their ears and tongues, then used Parmentier-esque reverse psychology, declaring the potato a dish fit for a king, essentially transforming it from hog feed to royal fare. As the years went on, the potato became the European carbohydrate, and rulers knew that when they controlled potato growth, they controlled power. In Russia, of course, the potato became huge. In Ireland, too, the Irish themselves then brought the potato to the US for us to enjoy. And far away in Peru, the potato's birthplace, the modest little root remains a symbol of cultural pride and biodiversity, with thousands of native varieties still growing in the Andes. Parmentier died on December 13, 1830, a hero. He is buried in the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris, in a large plot flanked by, of course, potato plants. He even has a street named after him in the 10th and 11th arrondissement, in addition to a station of the Paris Metro. At Montdidier, there's also the Place Parmentier, where, in full marble relief, potato seeds are handed over to a very grateful, probably very hungry, French citizen.